Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Every Sunday morning at 9, join me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. Each week we'll be exploring the wonderful world of modern jazz. From hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz, Sunday mornings at 9 on Sheffield Live.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what, I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3, here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, I'm Harry Wilburn. I present Steel & Wire every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Americana, bluegrass, American roots, and more. Lots more. Lots of guests, lots of local music and musicians. That's Steel & Wire, Wednesday, 10 a.m.
You're listening to fabulous Harry Wilburn on Steel & Wire.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
This is Sheffield Live.
Hello, you're listening to The Film Show. I'm Denise.
I'm Martin.
Good afternoon, welcome to The Film Show here on Sheffield Live.
Yes, and both of us back together again.
Back together again. Stopped going on about my jollies.
No.
I went to see Nick Cave last week.
Who?
It was Nick Cave week. Oh, full of the joys of Nick Cave and lots of other things as well.
Not much is going to get a look in, is it?
No, I didn't do much film, so all the film stuff is over to you. I did catch up on some things I'd missed though, which we'll talk about later, which is good. Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to?
Not much. I mean, I've watched a bit of TV, went to see Gladiator.
Gladiator the Two.
and we'll talk about that later on. Although, what can you say about a Gladiator movie?
Well, you'll do your best,
I'm sure. I'll do my best. I'll rustle something.
Just as I will with Paddington in Peru.
Yeah, what do you say about Paddington? Or if there could be some sort of, you know, terrible mind meld where Paddington is in the Colosseum Arena and he's hacking and slashing away.
Paddington went the wrong way instead of going from Peru to London.
Yeah. And, you know, he became the most bloodthirsty Paddington film. yet.
That marmalade sandwich is not going to do him any good in an arena.
Not at all. But he'd kill for one. Literally. Right, just some bits of news. The Curzon Cinema Group was sold last week to an American investment company called Fortress, because the previous owner of the Curzon and American, Cohen Realty Enterprises was going bust. So they've sold the cinema arm of the Curzon off for what seems like a very reasonable £4 million.
Who are Fortress then? They own quite a lot, don't they? Majestic Wine and...
Say American Invest. These companies have like a finger in so many pies, don't they? And like you don't realise, because you've never, until this moment here, probably heard much about that name. And then you realise they own so many bits and pieces that are on the high street. But so the Curzon has 16 cinemas in this country.
Is that all? I thought it had more than that. No, quite a few in London as well, of those.
London, there's a few. And it always surprised me that they would open in Sheffield, actually. A little more, I don't know, maybe have one in Bakewell or somewhere like that, you know.
Yeah.
A bit, trying to be posh, but hey, I'm not complaining. It's a lovely cinema.
Well, I like our Sheffield one. Yeah,
yeah, I do. And I didn't think it'd last very long with, you know, all the competitions, say, certainly from the showroom, but it's still there.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favourite cinemas in the centre of town. And so for the moment, there's no rumours about that it's going to be liquidated its assets. So I hope it's going to be more something that will make it more stable for the Curzon to carry on carry on showing lots of art house cinemas, which we love so much.
I'm suspicious of things like that, though.
Well, you've always got to be careful with them, haven't you?
Been swooning over the... everyone's been swooning over the latest Vanity Fair 2025 Hollywood issue, which they always sort of do in the build-up to the Oscars, don't they? But you've got a variety of young pups and old hands on there. Well, it's mostly young pups, if I'm honest, but there is Nicole Kidman as well. Your favourite, Glenn Powell?
Yes, it seemed to be like a blank. it was like being pixelated, so you couldn't quite see exactly who it was.
There's some British stars in there, though. Dev Patel is in there. Jonathan Bailey.
There was a lot of English actors in there, wasn't there? A lot of them. A lot of English names there. A lot of them, and especially a lot of the American, I've got to say, I've never heard of. I'm sorry.
You know Zendaya, though, don't you?
I've just got to get a point. I can't keep up with all these young pups, you know.
Well, they're all looking very fabulous.
Yeah.
And interacting with each other very fabulously.
Yes. Well, I suppose Nicole, she's almost like a grande dame now, isn't she?
Well, she appears as well, because she was in, I can't remember the name of the film now, but Dev Patel played her son, didn't she? Didn't he? An Australian film. Like her adopted son, who goes off to find his parents. Oh, so there's a nice little reunion for
them. But then she's in everything at the moment as well, isn't she, Nicole?
Oh, but Nakuti Gatswa as well is in it, who was in, of course, one of the Kens in Barbie. Is Doctor
Who.
I've not seen
Barbie. So.
Oh. It's quite a nice little lineup, and they look beautiful and gorgeous. So the journey to Oscars 2025 has started.
No, we're not starting that. We are not starting it until we're into 2025 because, no. We've got to stop it because we're talking about the same thing every bloody show. Can I say bloody?
When can I start talking about the Oscars?
Not until February. 2025, and then I think we've got to leave it. We've just got to leave it a bit. Please. Because then before that, we'll be talking about the Golden Globes and the Green Actors Guilds. Let's leave it. Please, just for a little while.
Okay.
Just for a little while.
Okay. Did you see that story about an AI film?
Not until you showed it to me.
It was like an offhand comment that he made, saying something like... AI will never be able to
make a Werner Herzog film.
So someone's going, yeah, all right then, I'll give it a go.
Let's see. Watch me.
I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Will he be made to eat his shoe? If this film actually...
Quite potentially.
Werner Herzog eats his shoe too.
Well, it's got your favourite, Vicky Creeps, in it as well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll skip by that, shall we? Yeah. It's going to be a disaster.
We'll
right.
See. We'll see.
You've been up to something this week you want to tell us?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I'll put something a bit personal in instead of talking about big film stars. I went into HMV to buy a DVD. And
was there an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman in there?
We could use that as a. This could be a new sort of trailer. Track. It could be an item that we do each week. And they had some indicator. It was actually a Blu-ray I was buying, but it didn't seem to, you know, scan
on the
well.
On the agenda. No.
So I bought that that great Christmas film, Remember the Night.
Oh,
and
I've got that.
I decided to upgrade some of my Brian De Palma collection. Not for you, Denise. Not for you. With the notorious body double, which I've amped up now to Blu-ray. And I took them to the counter, and and the girl behind the counter says, and it was a girl. It was a young, very very young woman. Said to me, "Have you got anything to prove your age?"
Look at this face, babe.
And it's one of those moments. Do I sort of turn to the camera and just give, like, you know, one of my deadpans? I said,
"Wait, what?"
She's, "This one's an 18 body double." I said, "I'm 65.
What the hey?
She said, "We do have to check ages." And I thought, this is one of those things where you sort of go along with it, because I've always got my driving licence with me. But it's one of those moments where I just thought, no.
Come on.
That's a step too far. You know, I'm just going to... This is the hill I will die on. I said, no, I haven't got anything. She said, oh. I said, I'm in my 60s. You weren't born when this film was made, you know, but I said, I'm sorry, but no, come on. And then she asked one of her colleagues, and the colleagues waved around and said, just
settle the old man is outdated media.
Grumpy old man. But I just thought, come on. There's got to be a point where you've got, fair enough if it was someone who was like 17 or 18, but even, does it really matter anymore?
Well, they also say challenge 25.
Yeah.
As in pubs, don't they?
Yeah.
So the idea being, it's difficult to tell if someone's in that sort of
maybe
bracket.
I mean, but then...
But listeners, for those of you that aren't familiar with Martin's face... You wouldn't challenge 25, Martin.
I didn't tell you though where I came in that Harry Styles lookalike contest in London last week that I went into, did I? Fourth.
Out of
four.
Oh dear. Oh,
so I mean,
dear.
It was one of those things, you know, maybe I should be, you know, a little flattered by this, but I won't. I just thought, oh, come on, for
maybe,
God's sake.
Maybe the young person involved just can only take things very literally.
Yeah, it was. I think they are just taking these instructions literally, you know, and so...
They've probably news the job, and they've watched a thing online that's the training, e-learning module on what to sell and what not to sell and licensing for age of... DVDs,
well,
and been petrified because they could get prosecuted if they sell it to someone underage.
Oh, do stop making excuses for ridiculous retail practices.
Or Martin, you're right, and the world has just gone mad.
I think on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to give that to you actually.
Yeah, but you know, I was polite. I didn't.
But you put your foot down.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I've got this, have I? I did make mention of this last week, but I only found out almost just as I was leaving the house last Saturday. So, but I thought we would give a bit of a bit more of a tribute to
Mr. Tony Todd,
who died last weekend at the age of 69. Was it? I think.
Is that all he was? Quite young, really.
And I mean, he had a great career. He was in so many different TV shows and films, but his the role that identifies him is as Candyman.
Yeah.
And he was in all the Candyman films, along with the updated remake, as Candyman. There was no one else who could be Candyman,
yeah,
it would seem, other than Tony Todd.
He had quite a career in sort of those kind of horror films like Final Destination and
he was in all
Night of the Living Dead,
yes, and yeah,
quite a lot of them as well. So a cultural, real big cultural figure, but he's sort of someone that passed me by because I didn't really engage with those kind of films at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw Candyman and Candyman 2 and then left it after that. But it must have paid the mortgage for him for quite a few years.
Yeah.
I hate using the word iconic. Yeah. I'm not going to know. He was recognised certainly with one particular role, the only person to play that role. And, you know, if we've got a mirror, should we say it five times?
See,
I haven't even
seen Candyman, but I still know not to do that.
Not to do that. Mm.
And that is a measure of how big an impact that film had, yeah, really.
So, farewell then, Tony Todd.
Mm.
That's unless he did look in the mirror and say Candyman five
with
times.
My hook for a hand, I'll split you from your groin to your gullet.
Really?
That's the promise he gives.
Yes, and Candyman always delivers on his promises. Next.
Oh.
This is the wrong bell.
Is it?
I think the other bell's better.
Okay. I didn't do a bell check before we went on air. I apologise.
Well, you know, this is where... It's always in the details, Denise.
I know.
The details are what matters.
Well, Mr. Timothy West has passed away this week. And a British actor, 90 years old. But you know when you look at someone, like, he was still appearing and stuff and making appearances, like... This summer, and he didn't look like a 90. Do you know what I mean? He looked like a young 90. Amazing character actor.
It's amazing
though.
What a canal boat in.
Oh yeah, known so his father of Sam West and husband of Prunella Scales. They were together for.
I mean,
you could do
a great. This is clearly the father of Sam West,
yeah.
Husband of Prunella Scales.
Gladiator Timothy West. But also had just a hard-working actor. Like, not so much in films, but I remember him from a lot of television. Did you ever see
Timothy West story, aren't
Tales
you?
Of the Unexpected that he was in, Royal Jelly? I think it was with Susan George, where he's a beef beekeeper who feeds his baby,
yes,
Royal Jelly, and turns into a... Oh, my God, it's... Horrific, yeah.
Yeah.
But also I remember him as the sort of out of his depth brigadier general in Monocle Mutineer, who comes up against Paul McGann's Percy Topless.
But he was very much involved with the theatre, wasn't he?
And massive theatre
not
career.
Just as appearing on it, but as a...
patron of lots of organisations,
being the artistic director and doing some more of the lesser known regional theatres. He was very passionate about regional theatre. Yeah.
Well, the last time I saw him on stage was in a number with Sam West as father and son, Carol Churchill play. And, you know, that's a really, Carol Churchill is a really complicated, he must have been in his early 70s then. Yeah. And it's not an easy text to do. I met him, he was wonderful. Wonderful guy. So, sadly missed Timothy West.
Who's going to look after Prue?
Well, I mean, living with Alzheimer's is very, very difficult. Mm. And it must have been... it's going to be a big hole in... Yeah, really sad.
She'll be on that barge on her own and there'll be a big incident at Lockgate or something.
Oh, don't joke about it, Martin. It's not very nice. Can you imagine? I don't know. I can't.
Yes, I can.
Oh, don't like it. Let's move on to something a bit more cheery. trailer trash this week. Oh. We've got Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise are running, Tom Cruise are diving, Tom Cruise are...
running.
diving, smiling, hugging, hanging off a plane.
Yeah, which he really hung off of, I'm sure we're going to hear about. Yeah, it's...
The Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, part one.
Yeah, we had 3 hours of the what we thought was going to be the final one last year.
And this is the final?
And this is the second final, half of the final.
The second
final
of the final three?
Can't
I don't
just
know.
Make one film?
Because there's more planes to hang off. There's more bombs to detonate.
More bridges to run across.
Well, it's a action-packed trailer. It will be an action-packed film. You'll get what you bang for your buck. I think that's next year, isn't it? That's out.
It looks like it's next summer. It's going to be one of the big movies for next summer. A lot of this for this. What more can you say as we go to our next piece of trailer trash?
Oh, we've got to be quick because we've chatted for too long.
Oh my God!
Yeah. But we'll have a quick argument over Bridget Jones, shall we? Mad about the boy.
I have nothing to say.
Look, I'm excited about Bridget Jones. I know it's a part of Britain, England, even middle class, upper middle class that I don't belong in. Oxbridge, wealthy, big houses. It doesn't exist. I'm here for it. I'm here for you. On Valentine's Day, Bridget Jones is back without her Mr. Darcy because he's been killed off.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh Grant is in it.
And it looks like she's going to find herself a younger man who's only 29. I'm here for that. Yeah. Right. I'm going to bring on some music now because we're running a bit behind because we've just chatted because we've not seen each other for so long. I'm going to start you off with a piece of music from... Oh, where did I go this week? This is Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. Nick Cave and Warren Ellis with the second of their soundtracks from 2007's The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, to give it its full name, directed by Dominic Ford. And
Dominic Ford?
Dominic, I don't mean Dominic Ford, do
you
I?
Don't mean
that's Robert Ford, I'm falling apart. But it was their second collaboration as a film composers.
And they've done a few since,
haven't they? Yeah, they have whipped out a few since then, but Proposition was the first in 2005. We're going to move on to some reviews, aren't we?
Yes. Shall I go first?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Well, it's been out for a couple of weeks, and this week this film has appeared on Netflix, and it's Jacques Audiard's Emilia Perez, which is a film seething in bonkers. how you've made up this anyway? It's the story of.
I like that. That's one for the poster. Seething in bonkers. Bonkers.
Yeah. Film show. it's the story of a the leader of a brutal Mexican drug cartel who employs lawyer Zoe Saldana to help him transition and to tidy up all his business deals so that his wife and children are sorted out, and he creates himself into a she, Emilia Perez. It's a musical.
Yes, that sounds like right up your street.
Well, I do love Audiard. I mean, and this is pretty out there. And again, it's one of these films where it was a bit like how I felt about Bird. I had some reservations about it in that we're looking at someone, a character who has murdered dozens, if not hundreds of people, created misery with the drugs that they've peddled. And is it because they change their sex, they become a different person, and we have to forgive what has gone before? It's sort of, yeah, it was a bit difficult.
Yeah.
But credit where it's due, it is done with such gusto.
Mm-hmm.
You do tend to forget a bit about this. The film itself brings up the whole thing of the disappeared later on in it. But yeah, it goes at such a pelt, and you're left gobsmacked every 5 minutes with the way the film has sort of done another 90-degree turn on you or something.
What are the songs like then? I've not really heard anything.
They sort of vary. There are some which are almost like dialogue being sung. There's some which are like big show tunes, and there are others. There's this number that Saldana does, which is like quite astonishing, where she's like giving out the blame to everyone who's created this state of affairs in the world, which is, I mean, she sings and dances and it's one, it just sort of stops you in your tracks. I was quite stunned by it. And this is like watching it at home still. It was just so big. It was so.
So it's landed on Netflix. So it's landed on Netflix already.
It's on Netflix now.
Because it was only at the cinemas like a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks ago. And just through events, I never got round to catching it in the theatres. But I have to say, yeah, it worked for me.
So worth a watch.
I think it is. And the other thing is, it's a film which gives the main parts are played by three women and a trans actor. And Carla Sofia Gascon.
Mm-hmm.
Who plays Emilia Perez and is a trans actor. I think she became the first trans actor to win a Best Actress Award, which she did at Cannes. And the film won the jury prize at Cannes. So, and I know I'm going to... already being tipped as best actress in the Oscars. But there's also Zoe Saldana, Selena Gomez and Adriana Paz.
Oh, it got they got the joint best actress award, I think, and all of them. Yeah.
Well, it's almost like you wouldn't want to leave one of them out for best actress, because all of them are just astonishing.
Oh, great.
And I just thought it was an amazing film. And then... it does bring up the whole more problematic business as to what this character has done before they were Emilia Perez. Mm. But it's incredibly emotional in places. It's it conjures up some pretty violent scenes as well. And the next minute, everyone's singing and dancing. So there are some mood changes in it. And I thought Audiard did it really well.
Well, good. So, rating.
I'm rating it.
Good to rate. I've caught up with Paddington in Peru.
You went to Peru?
Yes, Paddington. I followed him to Peru. Him Stalker. And the Reverend Mother, played by Olivia Colman. I don't know what it is as well. So, Paddington, Peru. Do I need to go into the plot? Paddington goes to Peru with the Browns, his adoptive family from London, and chaos ensues. Not enough chaos for me. There wasn't enough Paddington shenanigans. But it's difficult to criticise a kids' film, really, isn't it?
Kids' films anymore? Yeah, the Paddington
but perhaps
films,
it's if... not got as much of the. Well, that's the interesting thing as well. The kids in it are played by the same actors that played the kids before, so they're older. They're like stroppy teenagers now, rather than. I mean, one's going off to university, and the boy is sort of like in his bedroom a lot, being a moody teenager. So they're not little kids anymore, like in the stories, which is interesting, but. So I'm wondering, the appeal for younger kids is just in the bear. But you know, the charm is there. It's possibly a Paddington too far. I don't know. Paddington Gladiator is a Paddington too far. Not this one.
From the trailer, I thought there was a couple of Herzog references.
Yes, there are definitely some Herzog references. There's definitely other film references in there as well. It is fun. It does rip along. I don't know if I've got Olivia Colman fatigue by proxy of you, Martin, because I perfectly liked Olivia Colman before now, but as she comes on as a singing nun, she has a whole musical number which is obviously aping The Sound of Music a bit, and I'm just thinking
Martin would
hate this. Not even I hate this, but Martin would hate this.
And by the end of it, it was Martin is right.
No, I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far, Martin. Don't put those words in my mouth. But it's enjoyable. Antonio Banderas is quite fun in it as well. Yeah.
Did Nick Cave, Warren Ellis do this?
No, not on this one. Oh. Not on this one. Unfortunately not.
I'm surprised.
But I do have... I did more Nick Cave, you say? More Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. Okay, let's bring on the next track.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I'd fallen asleep during that one.
Oh, the cheek of this man. The cheek of this man.
You're listening to the film show. Oh, what a terrible dream. on Sheffield Live. And that was one, Nicholas Cave and Warren Ellis with Bright Horses, which I believe was from the score of Blonde.
Blonde, yes, but it's an instrumental version of a song that appears on his Ghosteen album from 2019.
Well, that piece of information completely not changed my mind about the song. Anyway, you know I'm only playing. I was into Nick Cave before you were born.
Before I was born.
Yes. Bit of a, you know.
All right, old man, I still wouldn't sell you a DVD.
No, you'd pick it down the side. I can't sell it to you. Who do you think you are? Stanley Kubrick. All right, so some more.
Callback, Martin.
Exactly.
Callback.
You know me, I'm ready for you. This week's big movie, the big one.
The big one on the side of the bus.
On the side of this week's bus. Gladiator 2.
Gladiator.
25 years since Russell Crowe as
25
Maximus.
25 years, really? Son. Maximus.
Father of a murdered son. Husband of a murdered wife. Destroyer of telephones in hotels. We're getting a sequel to it.
Yes.
Directed again by Ridley Scott.
Ridley.
Russ didn't get the call back from Ridders to do it again. Paul Mescal or Mescal?
Mescal, I think. Mescal.
Yeah, Mescal, because that's like a hallucinogenic.
Or just do what we always do and just say it very quickly.
Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal, yep.
is here playing the gladiator of the title. The
is
eponymous.
He the son of Maximus Watsimus?
Well, you've given it away now, but there was a hint of it, wasn't there, in the first Gladiator? There was a hint of it. But yes, I'm going to spoil it for you. He is the son.
Is that a spoiler? I thought it was in the trailer.
Well, is it? Yes. Yeah. I don't care. People say, you gave that away, and it completely ruined the film for me. Oh, well, you didn't like the snarling hyenas, the sharks, the rhinos, and lots of heads being cut off. Yes, it's... another 2.5 hour epic set in ancient Rome, and it sails very closely along the narrative of the first Gladiator film.
Right.
In fact, the narrative structure is almost exactly the same. Enormous, immense battle to start the film off with. Then Paul Mescal is captured by the Romans, goes... taken to the Colosseum, where Denzel Washington is playing the sort of role that Oliver Reed played in the first one, but with a little more of a sinister edge. You're not quite sure what his motives are. Is he up to no good? Ooh.
And is it a carry on Gladiator?
It is. Infamy. Well, Matt Lucas is in it, so there you go.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh my life.
The film then ups the ante with the baddie emperors. You don't just get one; you get two baddie emperors in this. And one of them played by Joseph Quinn, and I forget who the other one was. But they're sort of two nasty emperors who are up to no good, who are always wanting to up the ante as well. Call for yet more depravity out there on the floor of the Colosseum. Let me get their names. The other one's name, should I say.
This is great radio. This is great radio.
Fred Hechinger is the other one. And alongside that, you have the return of Connie Nielsen as his mum.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
She was. Yeah.
His mum.
Yeah.
So the Lucius, the young lad in Gladiator, was even then. Maximus's son.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a lot to catch up on.
You've got Pedro Pascal, not Paul Mescal.
Oh, I like Pedro Pascal.
And
nice.
I think he's very good. Mm. And we did that great story about him going to Margate to see the exhibition of his painting.
It was shut.
Denzel Washington's in there. Joseph, Derek Jacobi makes a very swift return until he's slaughtered in the
oh,
ring.
Poor old Derek.
And the film sort of just ups the ante on the battles. They have a sea battle in the middle of the Colosseum with sharks in the water.
Ow.
Oh, dear.
Ow. So is it... Because I do sometimes find Mr. Scott's films a bit long.
This one's long.
Yeah.
And if you remember... But the thing is, it's his work rate, which is just so unbelievable. It's only a year ago we were talking about Napoleon.
I know.
And that
that's
was, what,
massive.
2.5 hours?
6 years, I think.
And then about a few months ago, they released a director's cut on Apple Plus, which was like 3.5 hours. And I must admit, I thought the longer
you
version.
You liked it, I remember.
I did,
yeah.
Because it gave a lot more time to Vanessa Kirby as Josephine, and I think that really worked. But even the first one was a load of fun, I thought.
Mm.
And he's making these like huge, immense films almost every year to 18 months. I don't know how a man of 86 does it.
He's not 86.
He's 86.
Goodness me. He's cloned himself, hasn't he? Yeah.
There's got to be something going on.
There's something going on.
All I can say
is... It just doesn't make sense.
Blade Runner. He's a Nexus 6, isn't he? He's escaped from a labour planet,
hasn't
he? That
was a documentary. Oh.
It's a documentary? Nexus 6.
So are we rating Gladiator?
Well, what else can you do? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go along to see a gladiator film, you want heads being lopped off.
And you get it.
You get lots of them. You want, you know, huge battle sequences. It's a hack and slash extravaganza with baboons.
Okay, so that's a rate.
You know what you're going to get, and you're going to get it in spades. So don't complain if you come out and you're covered in blood.
Well, we've got Blitz as well to review. Now, we reviewed this on the show.
Yeah.
Before it was out in the cinema, and it's been out in the cinema for a couple of weeks now, but it's landing on Apple this Friday. You've seen Blitz, have you?
I haven't yet.
You haven't, no.
I haven't. I've been doing all the other work on the show.
I wish you could see it on the big screen rather than on telly.
Well,
though.
Maybe I'll go tomorrow.
It's, so how can I sell it to you? So Steve McQueen, directing, I'm. You know what you were saying about being worried about how working classes are sort of portrayed on screen, and that some people have said about this that it sort of not romanticises, but they've got a lovely house in the East End of London. It's like a lovely street that looks a bit more polished than it would have perhaps. For me, it's just a beautiful story centred around Saoirse Ronan's factory worker and her. Son who is, I think, due to be evacuated, he decides against it. He doesn't want to leave London and his mum, so he jumps off the train and just a nightmare adventure follows of him trying to get back home and him seeing what it's like to live in a blitzed London. And I think when we talked about it on the show a few months ago, we thought it was going to be about the... something happened in 1943.
Bethnal Green.
Yeah, and it's not about that.
I
think
read
it was just
something when it had been talked as if they covered that.
But I think it was just something that inspired him in his research.
Right.
And because you know, Steve McQueen does a lot of research on his.
Yeah.
And there is obviously, like, they do go underground for shelter, but it's not about that incident.
Right.
But it does make reference to other incidents and sort of fictionalised accounts as well.
Stephen Graham and Kathy Burke are sort of
they are
petty criminals.
They are horrifically terrifying,
yeah,
Dickensian, yeah, villains in it. Yeah,
I think it was probably easy. You know, we don't really see enough of all the vast amounts of criminal activity that were taking place during.
Yeah, and
we weren't all pulling together.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Because what would you? How do people react when they're under fire?
You know,
we don't all behave like angels.
A natural product of war is corruption and criminality, and, you know, black markets.
And that, it does get hinted at in, well, explored in this film. And, it's a wonderful film. I really recommend you see it in the cinema before you catch it on Apple TV from this Friday.
But if you want another view of the Second World War that McQueen has produced recently, is his monumental documentary, Occupied City, which is about Amsterdam during the Second World War.
It's a good 4 hours, isn't it?
It's over four hours. And it's all filmed in contemporary Amsterdam. There isn't there's not even a photograph, there's no archive footage, and it's just going to these locations around Amsterdam and telling you what happened there. Whether it was people being arrested, people being executed, people hiding and being hidden from the Germans. And it does build up this sort of quite staggering story of what it's like to be in a city that's been occupied, and, you know, specifically by the Nazis, and the awful, awful things that occurred there. So It's a bit of a challenge, but it's worth taking it up because it's an absolutely fascinating document about life under occupation.
That's on Mubi, isn't it?
It is on Mubi, yeah, but you can get it individually. You can hire it just if you just want to see that.
Great. Okay, I'm going to play another track from Nick Cave and Warren Ellis, and this is A Song for Amy.
It's time for us to call it a day. Well, I will love you anyway. You know I don't even care what they say. I'll still love you anyway, baby. Love gives everything, just to take it away. I'd give you anything to stay. But if you go now, I won't stay in your way. But I will think of you every day. Cause as I will love you anyway.
Oh, you're listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, online and on digital. That was Nick Cave and Warren Ellis with A Song for Amy from this year's Back to Black soundtrack.
I remember when we played it last time.
Yeah, do you? Yeah. Yeah, he loved it then, he loves it still. I think it's a rather lovely, touching tribute to Amy Winehouse.
It was one of Nick's sad songs.
So what we got coming up then at the cinema?
Well, something I'll be giving a very wide
I'm going to take the hit for this one and see this on Friday.
You're going to have to do this one because...
Wicked! And on the poster it says, it's not for you, Martin.
This is a general announcement to Martin. Please do not attend any screenings of this film.
Do you know, I'm a mad musicals fan and I know people that love the show Wicked. I've never seen it on stage, which is an odd gap. I know quite a few of the songs in it, so I'm intrigued to see it. It's very long though; it's 2 hours 50 with including the interval.
So they've actually put an intermission.
I think so, yeah. But as my friend Cara points out, this is a sign that. Do they know how to adapt a musical to a film? Because you don't need to put the whole show in.
And
a film.
Could I just interject here?
Uh huh.
This is only part one.
Oh, gosh, I've forgotten that. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my life. Okay. Right, anyway, I'm looking forward to
What's
it.
What's going on?
I'm sort of looking forward to it because I don't really know what to expect, apart from something that's definitely not for Martin.
So, speaking to someone who's spent his life avoiding The Wizard of Oz, I think only right...
Never seen it, never wants to see it,
I carry
folks.
On that tradition and avoid Wicked.
I will take the hit for that. Also, Joy is out on Netflix on Friday the 22nd, so this Friday coming up. But it is showing at the Curzon this week if you want to see it. Now, that is a drama with Bill Nighy, James Norton and Thomasin McKenzie. Mm. And it's about the IVF, the first test tube baby.
Right. Lots and then, of car chases in that one, yeah?
Not many, I don't think.
No,
not
gladiatorial rings, nothing.
If you fancy something a bit more foreign, let's say.
Foreign.
Get a foreign film. It's a Chinese film filmed in Tibet about the snow leopard. Looks like an interesting, intriguing drama about... snow leopards killing rams.
and there's also another transgender epic, Layla, which I'm just quoting this from the blurb. So, Layla is a struggling Arab drag queen whose confident facade hides a desperate desire for love.
Oh.
Are you going to do that one? No?
No, probably no. No.
I might leave that one.
Probably leave that one. Yeah. You take that one, I'll take Wicked.
I don't know what I'm going to watch next week because there's nothing. There is nothing.
Well, we'll be getting to that time of year where there's not so much. There's just Christmassy films coming out and
yeah.
It's a bit thin because Wicked is the only big, big release
yeah.
this Friday, isn't it?
Unless what are we going to talk about next week?
Oh.
There is nothing. For
well, there is a Christmas show film that started. It's already started on the showroom. It's on this week. It's called Christmas Eve in Miller's Point. Have you
well,
heard of it?
That's giving away everything. That's what you need to know, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure if it's your cup of tea either, because it's an American indie director, Tyler Thomas Tyomina. I've never heard of them. But it's got an ensemble cast of cult actors, it says here. So Michael Cera from Juno. Juno?
Oh, I know Michael Cera,
Francesca Scorsese?
Martin's daughter?
It actually says in here, and TikToks featuring her famous father is one of her credits. But, I mean, that looks like a Christmas family fun.
It is, so what, next week is what, the
22nd of November.
It's still too early to talk about Christmas films. Otherwise, we could have had a discussion next week about what our favourite Christmas films are.
Oh, well, I know I'm putting in that as well. So, you know, I'm still obsessed by that film I saw, Small Things Like These.
Yes.
I read the book. It's a little novella. It's beautiful. But it's set around Christmas. So it's a Christmas film. New Christmas film for me.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it up again. And, of course, I'm bringing something else up again. We're going to finish the film now, the film show now for this week with my last track from Mr. Nick Cave.
And for the last time this year, I think.
Three seasons in Wyoming.
It's got to stop.
This is from Wind River, which was a rather lovely film as well. So we'll see you next week. Both back next week, yes. arguing about films again.
Arguing. Oh, I think I'm doing the playlist next week.
You are, aren't you?
I think we could have a pre-Christmas Shatner
playlist. Is it going to be disco? Disco, disco, disco.
No, Shatner.
All right, then. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your films.